Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570 Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. John Allen is grabbing the lottery tickets that I've already given to him. We're out at 1623. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Curio Wellness. I have new ones, Pressure Luck. These are brand new scratch-offs. See what happens, and I told John Martin this. John is scratching right now, and there's schmutz. That's the official word for this. It's schmutz.
Absolutely.
And there's schmutz all over my tablecloth here, little silver things, because we get schmutz all over this every single week. We're at 1623. We're drinking beer. So if the show gets a little crazy, it's because what am I drinking, Mike McKelvin? What is this 1620? This is
You've got Utter Orbit, our milk stout, and John's got two. He's got our black IPA known as Midnight Muscle, perfect for him. Ooh. And then he also has our Mexican lager, Nuestra Playa. That's our beach right there. And I figured I'd bring something over that you don't often see.
What is that?
We actually craft our own cocktails here now. So we
that looks very beachy. That looks like something I get in Cancun.
I got an Orange Crush here. It's our version of an Orange Crush. Matt, our head brewer, who you all going to meet later, he crafts cocktails in the back for us. We keg these as well. Oh. And so this came right off the keg.
So I can bring this home is what you're telling me.
Yep, you can bring it home.
All right. Well, I've been trying to get out here for a long time. So
what's the 1623 significance?
You know, Nestor's gotten to hear this story a few times, but back in 2018 and literally a drunken moment, I gave a call to my cousin in Elizabeth, Colorado, and said, I know I can do a brewery here. We need one here. And give me some ideas. He's a gypsy brewer out there. He was helping companies get going. He's a great brewer, won a bunch of medals.
Okay.
And so he spent the next 2 years with me getting this place open. And the one piece we could never come up with was
a name. Yeah.
And so his commute was 1,623 miles.
Oh.
And that's where we came up with 16.
I thought it was when I drove out on 70 out here. St. Louis is 945 miles.
Fort Collins, look at that. It's really close to 16.
Denver's 2,200 miles. You know, it's like all of that, right?
Yeah. So the funniest part was the very first day we opened, I get a group of English teachers sitting right here, and they go, we know what the name's all about. And I go, give it to me. And they said, it's Shakespeare's first folio was printed in 1623.
Wow.
I said, you obviously don't know I'm from Essex and almost failed English.
All right, so this is what I didn't know. Mike and I have known each other a number of years, and I think of you as the BAL Vince Bagley, Chris Thomas guy.
That's why I wore this shirt today.
You think of me as your friend who knows Dante Liberatore because Dante was in our graduating class.
Yep.
So we did 1985 last segment. That's so last segment ago. I walked in here an hour and a half ago, maybe half an hour before John got here, and I said, yeah, I got John Allen coming out. You know, he's been in some bands and stuff. He's like, I know all about John. I'm like, how do you know about John? You're like, well, let me tell you that story. So I had no idea you were an Essex guy, and we're two Dundalk guys. I think of you as a BAL guy. I think of you as an Eldersburg guy out here in Carroll County. We are three guys that grew up within a couple, 2 miles. He and I were six blocks from each other.
Yep.
You were 2-3 miles away. You were very close to his bandmates.
Yep.
You an Essex band or a Dundalk band, Child's Play? What do you consider?
It's half and half, I guess,
they're the
right?
bridge. They're the cube. The Essex cube. The gateway.
Well, it's three-quarters Dundalk if I get Izzy and Nick right.
That's right.
Because, yeah.
Eventually it became, more,
but it's
more Dundalk-centric,
East Baltimore's
right?
band, and we could not be at 1623 in this factory of awesomeness in here any further. We ain't Essex, hon.
No.
You know, I mean, this is a long way. I did not know you were an Essex guy, so I'm going to get out of the way. You guys are going to have a good time because you have – there's so much synergy here amongst rock and roll and beer and media that you have like a photographic memory of his band, which is amazing.
Without a doubt. So 1967, I was born in Hyde Park in Essex. So, and then from there, got to move literally two streets over.
They didn't even take you to a hospital?
No. I think I was at GVMC for a day or
okay.
two. But, and then moved two streets over to Foxcroft Lane. So from Foxcroft Lane, it took 3 minutes to walk to Phil's house. Phil Weiser, great Child's Play member. And he was unbelievably close friends with my cousin Bruce. They grew up together. I've known Phil since before entering kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
And his mom and dad and brother grew up right there in East Rock. And
Budweiser.
Yeah, Budweiser. Exactly right. And we used to play football in the back of their house between two Transformers. one to the end. That was each goal line was a transformer behind his house.
Nice.
And then my wife Sandy, who I met in sixth grade, she actually grew up with Brian.
Okay.
She lived right near Seagull Inn.
Okay.
Off of Tredevon Road, and there she.
That's that back Riverneck Road.
You better believe it.
She's had some Pizza John's.
Oh, we all have.
Yeah, right.
And that's where she grew up. She went to elementary, middle, and then we both went to high school with Brian.
Nice. Did you see us play in the hallways of Chesapeake Senior High?
I never saw that. You know, I think because I was on the bus for football or baseball that I missed those, and I always got told the story. Yeah.
You were a Bayhawk, right?
Yeah, I was a Bayhawk.
Was Long there then?
Yeah, Jeff Long was our quarterback.
Man, Jeff was a legend, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was
scholar athlete, all that. I reconnected with him a couple of years ago, and I think I saw him in Pizza John's at one point, but he was in the finance world, banking world,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He was full scholarship to Brown. And he was
smart guy too.
He was honorable. I mean, I'm sorry. First team All Metro, 1985. We were undefeated.
I wrote about him in the paper because he was the McCormick Scholar Athlete
exactly
winner.
Right.
And I wrote about him many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine
he went to Iowa. Where did he go?
Brown.
Okay. Okay.
Imagine the center of our football team goes to West Point. Our quarterback goes to Brown.
Hmm.
And we're a 10-0 football team in Baltimore County. I mean. Just the smartest group of people I've ever been around.
Yeah,
and I always tell people all the time my storytelling of Essex is very simple. We were a bunch of poor kids who didn't know we were poor.
Right.
And a bunch of smart kids, and I include a lot of our friends in Dundalk. A bunch of smart kids and talented people came out of Essex and Dundalk back then.
Yeah. We had hardworking parents, all of us.
And we brought his name up earlier, but part of Russ's show on 98 Rock was to make fun of us all the time. You know,
yeah.
Growing up in an Essex Wonderland.
Right.
So we were sort of the joke along with our friends over in Glen Burnie, but at the same time, a bunch of hardworking people that, you know, created
any blue collar area,
you know,
kind of gets the.
Created a radio station, created an awesome band and a legacy, and then I got lucky enough to have this in a construction company, and look where we are.
Well, your background was media, right?
I mean, yeah.
You worked at Television Hill, and I didn't know this whole ride. I just invited John 2 days ago because he lives out this way. You know, I mean, I didn't realize it was that small tour would be so small in this segment. Really,
it really is. I find people coming here all the time, and it gets smaller and smaller when we link it. You know, Kevin Bacon has 7 degrees of separation. We've got one.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's right there.
Especially if
you know
me or John.
Yeah, it is.
We know everybody.
And Dante, as you mentioned.
Throw Mickey in there too. We got to put Mickey. If you know,
Mickey Coachella.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes back to the Hammerjacks links, and people think John and I know each other from Hammerjacks, but nah, it was way before then. And you and I would know each other through business and beer. I think I connected with you when Owings Mills, the Marriott, opened. I was out there. You were pouring some beer.
Yeah.
I was dressed nice. My wife and I were having a really good band played that night, and we were drinking your beer, and you came up to me, and I said, oh, I know what this is. It's out in Eldersburg. I had no idea you had these links because the last time Mike came on, we were over at Liberatore's. Now, Dante and I went to school together, so Dante's story is unbelievable.
Yep.
The whole Liberatore family story of working in Little Italy as busboys and falling into this location in Eldersburg. Why Eldersburg? What are you doing in Eldersburg?
So I ended up going to Western Maryland back then. It's now McDaniel. Graduated there.
Green Terror.
I was a terror. Actually got out a half semester early because Vince Bagley offered me a job. Hmm. And so I literally called him up in the summer of 87.
Was this because you were a sports goober?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I called him up in the summer of 87 and said, Vince, can I come do an interview with you and write a school paper about, BAL sports, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, Ace, come on down. You're welcome anytime. And so I show up.
You're a left-hander.
And he goes, you need to come work for me. And I said, you just name it. I go, but I'm at that point. I was just finishing my sophomore year, going into my junior year of college, and he calls me in the middle of my junior year and goes, I need you by May. And so May I get the job, and literally my last semester, I'm full-time at BAL. I almost failed my last semester because I was riding back and forth Westminster there all the time.
Right.
And it worked out. In the end, I had just –
795 probably wasn't even open.
No,
that point.
It wasn't. You know,
million what? Lights on Reisterstown Road.
I have a really funny story about that. So, just how goofy this ride and sports is. Yeah. I was working for P&H Fence Company. I think they still exist. Putting fence up along what will be 795 when I heard Len Bias died.
Oh, wow.
June 19, 1986. Yep. I was in the newsroom at the Sun that morning.
Yep. I was busting fence down what would be 795.
Dude, Chris Thomas was at the hospital by 9:30 in the morning that day.
Yeah.
Because I was in the newsroom that day.
Chris and I were really close. You know, so Vince hired me. Chris
After
was still
that,
there.
This was 86. Yeah.
Chris and I were really close. And it was, you know, he and I. Chris and I became really close because back then Vince had pulled his schedule back to just 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so Chris and I would always do the 11 together. And we have some really funny stories about the, you know, when Bob Malacky is at Christopher's by himself at the bar and all that. And those all those Orioles that didn't know where they were going in 88, 89, 90. They were, you know, they were so lost back then.
Kurt Schilling.
Schilling.
Without question was at that bar.
Oh, yeah.
Who married our childhood friend.
Pete Harnish.
Before he lost his mind.
My eighth grade girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that. John Allen is here. Mike McKelvin is here. We're at 1623. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're storytelling. The storytelling part of you at BAL and your sports background, how long did you work there?
I was at BAL for 6 years. Became an
87 to 93.
Yeah.
So I was an intern for Garceau with Joe Hammond.
Well, Joe was an intern for me.
I know that. Yeah. Joe came from BAL.
Yeah.
And then I was with Mike Gaffigan, Scott Garceau, and Keith Mills, all at Channel 2.
Yep.
My internship was in the spring of 92 when Camden Yards opened is when I graduated. So we were very much – Camden Yards opening in 92, you were working for Vince, right?
So now, so here's one of the things, and this is, you know, Bill Kistner, God rest his soul, one of my close –
Billy Kistner, oh, wow,
just,
sure.
You know, he took over as the sports director, and I got handed the producership for Live at 5. And
so you were doing the news. You were doing Rudy Miller and like all that, right?
Yeah, so I say God bless his soul. I'm producing from the dark confines. You've been in the studios at 98 Rock right across the hall, dark confines of the BAL control
room. It's a television
room,
yeah.
Yeah, and Bill comes walking in with everything they gave that day just for me because he goes, I can't believe you missed this. He goes, we've been working this day for the last 6 years and you missed this. And handed me everything the Orioles gave out that day. But it's, you know, opening day, very special in 92. I tell you, the best parts about working in sports in Baltimore, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but it was the people. Mm-hmm. You know, you had John Stedman. I had Vince Bagley. We all got to weave through Bill Tanton and that whole group. Jim Henneman, who we just lost this
Stedman,
summer.
Yeah, man.
It was an amazing group, and John, you and I were talking about how we love writers now, mm-hmm. and don't let the music get lost in the writing.
Right.
They were writers first.
Right.
And you know, even you know, I think we look at people today like Tim Kirkjian, writer first, became a TV personality.
Right.
But writer first, and when you really look at all of our growth right here, the three of us and the people we surrounded ourselves with, it was writers first.
Mm-hmm. Well, AI is going to replace all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope
not.
Don't
have to worry about that.
Let's hope not.
AI is going to write just like me.
Yeah. But so many, you know, great, you know, and what happened was that I like to ramble a little like you. I became the spokesman for the Maryland State Police. I wanted something bigger. I wanted more. And at that time, I wanted to be a little bit more in the camera. And then while I was doing that, what I realized was I'm not a camera guy. Mm-hmm. I really am a business guy. And I came back to TV, but I came back on the sales side and I ended up becoming the local sales manager at WBFF. Built up a nice little business there. And then that's in.
Why beer, though? What happened here?
So I bought my first business in 2002 and sold three businesses. And then I bought a company out of Falston in 2008 called Griffith Brothers, and we built large-scale retaining structures and built it up to right where I want it, and we still have it today. That's the family legacy business. And this became sort of the hobby, the passion, the let's do something else.
Did you live out here?
Yeah, we moved. When I graduated Western Maryland, I swore I was never coming back to Westminster.
You know, back what's then, an Essex guy?
Never coming
right?
back to Carroll County.
I was.
You guys both went west, and I'm still North Baltimore County. Right. But like,
I swore I was never coming back to this county. And that was I left here when I was 21.
Yeah,
left here when I was 21. Mm-hmm. At 27, moved in, and that's where I've been for the last 30-plus.
So I give you guys – by the way, John Allen is here. Mike McKelvin is here. We're at 1623. We're drinking some beer. We're telling some stories. It's a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, even though you have crab dip here. Yep. I had a couple of recommendations for crab balls and different stuff along the Eldersburg Pike. So I'll get back out here at some point in season. We'll do all that.
Let me tell you, give a couple of businesses a plug.
Sure, please.
So first of all, this box right here, behind this wall, this is a Liberatore's kitchen.
Okay.
We call it craft culture. That's what this room is. These guys do great work. Dante, Pino, Italo, and John and I teamed up to build that kitchen.
But not Nick. Forget him. He's working on Lips Grill.
Actually, Nick's works with us closer than all of them. So out front, when you came in, there's a place called Basta Pasta. Amazing crab cakes. Mm-hmm. Amazing crab cakes.
We should have brought that over here today. Yeah. I probably should have grabbed one of those.
And then when you go down to, obviously, Dante does a great crab cake down there. He, Pino up in Westminster. And then I'll give two other Carroll County businesses a shout because they do such a great job. Rock Salt has an amazing crab cake.
I have
cake.
Been to Rock Salt. I have done a crab cake there on the tour 2 years ago.
And then if you go out to Hampstead, Fratelli's. Fratelli's does an amazing crab cake, but they do something that we don't see on the east side. They add red pepper to their...
That's Greek, right. Or Italian, but Greek. I know Fratelli's over in the Eastern Shore. They were an Essex family, and I did the show over in Salisbury. It was an Essex family with a crab cake. It was the old Essex diner when we were kids on Eastern Avenue. Two girls get into Salisbury, and the kids went to Salisbury State. Dad said, I sell your business in Essex. I moved to Salisbury. All and right. they've been there for 35 years making crab cakes there. So wow. So I've had crab cakes in Salisbury with them.
What was our Greek place across the street from the Midway?
Oh, geez.
Now they're going back into the Wayback Machine. Oh, here we go. I knew this was going to happen.
The Midway Cafe was, our friend who now does the Bob Seger tribute stuff, Lonnie Fletcher.
Yeah.
Lonnie was playing across the street in his Queensryche type band.
Uh-huh.
And then we would go over to whatever the Greek restaurant, and now I'm forgetting.
I can't remember it. Yeah.
Lonnie almost blew the roof off of Midway. That band was too big for that little
Who were they
the
called?
Venue.
They were, Enforce.
Enforce, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, Enforce.
I remember. So Lonnie, this is all the connections, right, in the small world. So before I joined Child's Play, I went up to a band practice of theirs, and they were kind of farting around with a Scorpion song cover, and no one could sing it. This guy with curly hair, kind of looked like Leif Garrett a little bit.
Absolutely.
Gets up and starts just wailing this Scorpion song. And my band was looking for a singer, and I was like, hey, what's your number? You want to be in a band? You know? So he was a singer in like our band before I left and joined Child's Play. I don't know what we were called that month, maybe.
Fury or something? Was that
no.
yours?
No. That you
yours?
Keep saying that,
what
man.
Was the name of your band? What was the name of your band?
You got it locked in.
What was the
in.
Name of your band? That was Bubba's band. I got the wrong band. Wasn't Itzy in that
Fury.
Band?
Fury.
Was Nick in that
Get
band?
Get out of here.
Somebody was in that
Sergeant
band.
Sergeant Fury.
I don't know what it was. So the general manager at Sarah Restaurant has said to me that I need to get a crab cake there, so I want to plug them.
I got to tell you.
James Hansen.
Yep,
thank you.
They're up on Main Street in Westminster, and we haven't been there yet. Sandy and I have been so busy this year, we haven't been there yet. So
what's going on here? I was in here like 3 years ago. I mean, alive and well. You got people here drinking?
You know, it's been going really well, especially since we added the kitchen. You know, COVID changed everything. You could mm-hmm. before COVID, you could easily open a brew tap room, and that was all you needed, and people would come. We'd throw a band or a trio, a little acoustic in here, everybody would come. COVID changed all that. It's a totally different dynamic. People want to go one place. They want to be entertained quickly. They want to get some food, and then they'll give you 2-3 hours of their time, but entertain them and have an enjoyable spot, and then they're probably going home. We're You know, when we grew up, we'd hit four,
we
five, six.
We were going
six,
out, yeah. Right, yeah.
I will tell you, all of Carroll County, except for Liquid Library, which you should try sometime if you get up there, all of Carroll County closes by 10 o'clock.
It's where I live. Like, Clarksville, there's, like, nothing happening.
COVID, you can't, you won't
there's
find
not a late night
there's
place.
There's no late night place anymore. And I will tell you, our good friends, Chad and Drew, up at Liquid Library, they do an amazing job. And
what town are they in?
They're up in Westminster on Main Street, not far from Sarah. So it's places like that that, you know, they're going to niche, and maybe they'll kickstart a new late night. But right now, late night doesn't exist. I'm done on a Friday, Saturday night. We'll have a great, great day. Brunch will go through the roof. Mm-hmm. 8:30, 9 o'clock, we'll have 40 people in here.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, you know, they're walking out here, eyes half closed, and... You know, it's just a different.
I fell asleep on the All Star game. I didn't get to watch all the knockoff, get off, whatever the hell that thing was. Goofy.
If you talk to Cam later, she'll tell you about me falling asleep. I miss so much stuff now.
No, you know, that's just about getting older.
Well, my 18-year-old, she doesn't go out until 11 o'clock, and she's going to the Wrecker.
Yeah.
You know, they have a college like dance night or whatever. So I'm like, wow, like.
I live close to the Wrecker, so I'm pleased that you're playing the Wrecker.
Like, I remember doing that, like, you know, but that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. You know, I guess maybe we've aged out.
Maybe we've aged out. Maybe like we were talking earlier, maybe we're classic rock. Maybe we're coming back.
Yeah. I was going to shake my ass on the Hood of Whitesnake's car, but I never did. So I was at PT Flags.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus.
I knew I'd get you guys on that. So I met a girl at PT Flags in 1986. Christmas of 86, and I'm from Dundalk, and I'm living on Kane Street, and, you know, I was a single parent at the time working at the paper, and I met this girl, and we fell in a little bit, but she lived out here, and I lived over there.
And you're like, and, oh, man, that's too far for me to drive.
I'm halfway. And I took my 1977 Caprice Classic wagon with that pea green and the brown panel and the holes in the back,
Yes.
The Beltway ended at 70, then.
I had a girl, Krista, I love you, you know that. I wrote to you today. But Krista was a class of 88 Liberty High School, right down here, right? I went and fell in love with her best friend, become my girlfriend, but that's a long story. But I met a girl at PT Flags in 86.
Was it the dance night?
Yeah, it was Sunday night. It was teen night. I mean, it was teen night. It was a Sunday night teen night. We were all drinking Shirley Temples. And I met a girl. She gave me her number. We had the little PT Flags card. Remember that?
Yeah.
You had a card, you know. So I drove it. She said, I live in Eldersburg. I'm like, you got like a country accent. What the hell? Where are you from? You know, she still did. Christy, you know, I should watch this one.
My cousins lived in New Windsor, and they sounded like they were from Oklahoma.
Right. Of
I
course.
Was like,
where the hell are you from?
You were born in Baltimore. You lived in North Point Village until you were like 10. How come
don't you know how to speak right?
Yeah, that's right. He was like, hey, John, remember when you called that steer a moo moo? I was like, yeah, Chris, I was 5.
So I've got a girl out here, and
I've never seen one.
I'm trying to score, you know. I mean, this is 1986, 87. I'm 18, 19, whatever it was, 17. And it was after Live 8, after I wrote that terrible Live 8 thing we're going to get to later. Mm-hmm. And I drove out here.
And she still dated you. Even after
I had to get a map to figure out where she lived, dude. She's like, it's 26. She go out Liberty Road. I'm like, where the hell is Liberty Road? Is that left of freedom? Where's Liberty Road? So this is 1987. Yeah. I drove out. So I had a girlfriend out here, and I would come pick her up at her house, and we would go get a crab cake and do, you know, whatever we do out here. But it was literally, there was an Ames, and it was like a road. There was nothing. I came in because I came from the lottery because I had to pick up these. Did you win or did you not win?
I don't think I won.
I don't think you won. Lucky Sevens, and I was picking up the Pressure Lux. So I went downtown. I came out here a way I've never come. I was downtown. I Google mapped it or Wazed it, as my cool friend John does, and it wrote me out 70
to 32.
So like 70 to 32 north, right?
Yeah, right.
Up to come up the highway, and I have never come up that road in my life through Sykesville, crossing from Howard County, your county into Carroll County. I've literally never been on that road in my life. Why would I be? And I'm like, look at how amazing this is, and I think, oh, my God, it's been 38 years since I had a girlfriend here, and I came out here. But this community, dude, no offense, the last time I was out here, when I was at the bar drinking with you, and when I did the show, it's not a place you come through,
right?
Eldersburg. And
you
I'm thinking the reason you like it is they leave us alone out here. You know what I mean? It's sort of like when I'm in Hempstead up at Greenmount, It's sort of like, you know, unless you're on your way to Hanover, unless you're on your way to something else.
Right.
Elders, this is a real bedroom community that's exploded out here in our lifetime, right?
Well, the southern part of the county, absolutely. So if you go, literally, go towards my house in Westminster, it's still not a lot like not a lot different than when I first moved out here.
See, but when you drive on Reisterstown Road, you feel the commerce. But if you go 10 feet off, there's either a golf course or a farm.
That's
literally,
right? Exactly. And it's a lot of land preservation that goes on. A lot of the farms are stuck there. So they'll be farms forever. You know, the farmers can
feed ourselves.
They can add, I think the way it works now is you can add two houses on if you have 100 acres or more, but that's it. You know, they got some government subsidy to help keep the farms alive, and that locked the land as farm forever. It can't be changed.
Well, near cities, it's so important that we have these farm to table, right?
We have an unbelievable farming community here, Northern Baltimore County, Harford County, and I can only speak to those because I travel those so much. But between the crop farmers and the cattle farmers, they're unbelievable. And the work they put in. A very close friend of mine is a dairy cow farmer.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
And his wife and his sister-in-law get up every morning at 3:30 and start the cows. And
I could never do that. If I stayed up the night before, I could stay up.
I'm going to tell you a really funny story about how women work harder than us and it can handle more pain.
Oh, yeah.
I show up at their farm, and this cow had just given birth to a calf. 3 hours earlier and is on the milk machine 3 hours later.
Yep.
I was like,
yep.
That's why guy cows don't give birth and have milk.
That's right.
That's why they chase the girl cows.
That's right.
Mike McKelvin is here, 1623. What makes your beer great? What do you love about your beer?
Matt Evans.
All right.
Our head brewer, he makes our beer great. We're very classic oriented. You know, a lot of our
this is a stout I'm drinking. It's delicious.
Yeah, a lot of our friends go heavy IPA, and we love them. They do a great
job
with
that.
Them.
That.
We do a lot of pilsners here. A lot of lagers. We do Kolsches. We do two IPAs.
You ever been to Cologne?
Yeah.
Man, you ever been to Cologne?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
first place I played in Germany.
The place that where my wife's the man who saved my wife's life. He lives up the road from there, up toward Gelsenkirchen and Essen. But we meet him in Cologne when we go over there. Cologne has the bridge and the locks and the incredible Dom. Cologne's one of the great places on earth. It's one of my favorite cities on earth. But it has a true beer culture in Kolsch, where if you've seen it, they bring it by in these metal carts in little cups with little heads of beer on it. But I love Kolsch. I could drink Kolsch all night.
Ask Matt about it when he comes over. He just said to me, when you guys got started today, we're sitting over there at the bar and we're looking at the tap handles. And he says to me, he goes, I think I want to take the Italian Pilsner off, which is a fan favorite, but more people like the Mexican lager. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I think I'm going to take that off and I'd like to make Worth the Wade our permanent fifth line. And Worth the Wade is an unbelievable Kolsch that he made. We'll get you guys some. I think we still have.
I can't drink anymore. I'm done.
And,
it's early. It's
let you try that. But a Kolsch is an unbelievable beer that a lot of people don't introduce themselves to because, being Americans, we like sugar.
Yeah.
And so we falsify some beers by sugar additives and things like that. And when I interviewed Matt. I said the same thing. I interviewed 7 brewer potentials back in 2019. And I said, if I told you I only want to do one style of beer, what would it be? And he said, Kolsch, right away. Everybody else said, well, we got to be in the IPA market. Everybody else. Hmm. And he said, Kolsch. And I fell in love.
Well, you like his beer, nice. Right?
Yeah, he does. And he's an amazing young man. I tell people all the time, he gives me hope for 30-somethings all the time because he just works his ass off and he cares.
Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Great.
All right, John Allen is here. You got to go. You don't.
Are you kicking me out?
John's going to stay.
I've got food
all right,
coming.
That's it.
I got some food coming.
John Allen is staying, and the food's coming from Liberatore's. Tell about your kitchen again.
It's called Craft Culture. It's a dynamic little emulsion of 1623 in the Liberatore Group. And they helped me get that thing going, and it's amazing. We've been open 1 year now, and we've had 6 menus. We've given our customers, the group of gentlemen you see over my shoulder here, we literally called them in on a Monday can you guys show up on Monday? We're going to throw all this food out. We need some feedback. Old school feedback. Mm-hmm. And that's how we did it. And that's how we got started, and we loved it.
Nice.
All right, we're going to come back, drink some more beer. We're going to give some more lottery tickets away. We're going to tell some more rock and roll stories. My dudes, David and Richard Abrahams, are going to be here later on. They're two of my oldest friends in the whole world. I haven't seen David probably in 30 years, so this is going to be unbelievable. They have their Live Aid London stuff. I have my Live Aid Philly stuff. I brought my rock star buddy because we should all have one. John Allen's band is not playing soundstage. He's playing Paul Mann's joint. You're really close to the house. I live in Towson, so I'm into this with 27th of September, correct?
Correct. And Fury's playing, right?
All right. I'm going to take
every time we get together, he goes, it was Fury, right? No.
What was the band called?
Which band?
The 81, 82, 83 band.
I don't know what you're talking
Hollenberg
about there.
The
Hollenberg
band.
81. That band's name was even worse than Fury.
Go ahead, what was it?
Executioner.
Executioner, that was it. It was like a wrestling match. That's it. Were you Executioner 1 or 2? Which one were you?
That's great.
It was bad.
It was Executioner. It was bad. He's right. You know, the minute I get home, you're getting a picture. I am Nestor. He's John. He's Mike. We're at 1623. We're half in the bag. That's what the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is all about. Stay with us.
Fury.
Fury.
Oh, my God.
Executioner.